Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolfe.
God is incredibly deep and multidimensional. He is not a God that can be reduced to just certain policies and rules. He is not a God that can be reduced to a simple object. So when we see in Scripture time after time that God is sometimes conflicted, we go, no, it can't be that. So I'm sure this is an anthropopathism. I'm sure this is just an image that's kind of like the way it looks to us, but it's not really the way it is. Because the truth is, sometimes we just don't really want to know God as he reveals himself. Because it's going to turn out that although he's not safe, he's much deeper and more complex than we could ever imagine.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Stop for a second and think about how you relate to God. Now see if it resembles the relationship Moses had with God as you join us for another Bible story here on The Balanced Word. We're in Exodus 32 and 33 today with Pastor Dave Rolfe. Moses had a personal connection with the Lord, which was the key to him forming a real relationship with him. Pastor Dave will show us that it all starts with letting God be God, and you be you.
Moses seems like he's somewhere on the spectrum of bipolar. He seems totally unstable when you look at him, doesn't he? I mean, here he's like, I don't even want this job, and then he does it, and he comes through, and these great things happen, and then he's with God. Next thing you know, he's arguing with God when God said, I'm going to destroy these people. No, you're not. You can't do it. And he's all, you know, defending the people, which is kind of cool. But then as soon as he starts down the mountain, he's all ticked at him. He's smashing the law. He's talking about breaking the law. Boom. And he's like killing these people that he was saying, oh, no, don't hurt them. He's like, I'll do it. Let me do it. But then, while they're getting slaughtered, 3,000 of them, he goes, God, please forgive them, please kill me. If you're gonna, like, wait, you're the one who's doing this. What are you talking about? I thought this is what you wanted. Well, not anymore. I want them to be forgiven. And then he's in personal conversations with God where they're just talking so close. And then he's going, God, I don't even know if you're here or not. I'm not sure. God says, I'm going to be with you. I don't know, man. Are you really going to be with me? I don't know if I can follow you. I'm still trying to make up my mind. And then he's like, God, I need to see you. God says, no, you don't want to see me. It'll kill you. Come on, please. I want to see you. I'm like a little kid. And then God's like, okay, fine. You'll see my rear end as I pass by and glory shining from it. And so you look at Moses and go, kind of scary as a leader. He's so inconsistent. We tend to think that a leader should be really consistent. And this guy is an emotional and mental wreck, it would seem, right? And you're like, no, I could never say that. Well, wait till you hear the next point. God seems sort of unstable too, honestly. When you read the story, especially if you don't like redefine everything God says about himself by your theology, and you just go, oh, this is what it says. It's like, wait a minute, God says, I'm going to destroy them. This is what I want to do. Theology would say, if you want to do it, you're going to do it. No, he says he wants to do it, but he gets talked out of it by Moses, who then goes to proceed to actually do it himself and then to say sorry. So God's like, I'm going to kill him. Okay, fine, I won't. And then he goes down and Moses is like killing him. And God goes, I'll kill some too while I'm at it. This is cool. And then Moses is like begging him for forgiveness. And God's going, yeah, we'll just kill the guilty ones. It'll be fine. And then God's having a conversation with him. And Moses wants it to be deeper. And he wants to see God. And God's like, well, no, you can't see me or I'd kill you. Oh, come on. Okay, fine. I'll show you part of me as I pass by. And you look at it and go, what's up with God in this story? It seems like you have an unstable God and an unstable leader combining to do this incredible task that's really, it would seem to be impossible. So what do we do? Do we just assume that, you know, yeah, it's just the way they are. They're weird. Well, let's approach it from this angle. What is the central problem that's going on with Israel at this point? Now, I would suggest to you that throughout their history, the central problem was always idolatry. It was always a problem of idolatry. In this case, it was making a golden calf and saying, here's our God. But in so many other ways, the Ten Commandments, the first two, said, I won't have any other God before me, and you will not worship graven images. So this is a big deal to God. So what is idolatry? Idolatry isn't just worshiping a thing. That's really a misconception. What idolatry is defining God in a way that he deserves better, in an inferior way. Actually, what idolatry is it takes God and it makes him one-dimensional. It makes God a cardboard cutout of God. Theology is guilty of this all the time. We make simple statements about God based on certain verses, and then we go, this is who God is, and anything else that the Bible says, it doesn't really mean what it says because we know who God is. And it's like we have God in this box, and we can't even believe what he says because he's one-dimensional. Now, we idolize people in the same way. You know, you meet somebody and you think you know them. And you put them in a category, and you decide this is who they are. When you first meet with someone, your impression of them is very one-dimensional. You haven't got under the surface. You just make certain generalizations about them, and that's fine. And most of the time, we're okay continuing to relate to people that way. Why? For the same reason that people worship idols. Because it's safe and secure to say, I know which pigeonhole everyone belongs in. Now, when we find out that a person is different than we thought, then we generally say, okay, I reject them because this is too complicated. But the thing with God is incredibly deep and multidimensional. He is not a God that can be reduced to just certain policies and rules. He is not a God that can be reduced to a simple object. See, if he could, then you could go, yeah, the calf is a good representation of him. But throughout history, people have worshipped the sun because it's like, oh, it's a god. You know, and the moon, another god, the rocks, the trees, the water. They turn everything into gods because they see these objects and go, that must be God. But we do the same thing when our image of God does not plunge deeper than just what we see on the surface. So we're constantly having to tweak our theology in order to make sure that we have a God who is safe and a God who is predictable and a God who always acts the same way. So when we see in Scripture time after time that God is sometimes conflicted, we go, no, it can't be that. So I'm sure this is an anthropopathism. I'm sure this is just an image that's kind of like the way it looks to us, but it's not really the way it is. Because the truth is, sometimes we just don't really want to know God as he reveals himself, because it's going to turn out that although he's not safe, he's much deeper and more complex than we could ever imagine. And when you get to know people, you discover the same thing about them, because people are created in the image of God. Most people that you think you know, you don't know. Now, what you find out when you go deeper is God probably is most of what you think he is. But you're going to find out he's also so much more. And you'll find the same thing with people. They might be who you think they are, but that's just one angle. That's one dimension. That's one description. And if you settle for the cardboard cutout of a person, you'll never have a relationship really with that person. Now, what happens often when we try to have relationships is we discover that people are one-dimensional and we reject some of that dimension, and therefore we say, oh, they're inconsistent. I thought they were this, and now it turns out they're that, and I go, I reject you. Because we're comfortable with one dimension. That's why we're so drawn to idolatry. It's why when there's some superstar in show business, we idolize them because we assume that they are the way they are all the time. Now, when they do something that's a little crazy, we go, no, they're not who they said they were. They're not who we thought they were. And so we can't wait to knock them off their pedestal, because there is no more anger that can come than when your idol gets tipped over, when you see it for what it really is, when you see the man behind the curtain. And sadly, we're even that way with God. So what does Moses tell us about that? What does he tell us? Well, for Moses to be comfortable with a God who was unpredictable, what Moses had basically was a connection with God that allowed him to be honest about who he was, to allow God to reveal whatever he was. And he was willing to bang heads with him. He was willing to disagree with him. He could argue with him. And in a crazy way that I don't understand, there are times when what we do affects what God does. Now, again, if that clashes with your theology, do you want the scripture or do you want theology? The scriptures say time and time again that when people pray, God changes what he was going to do. The book of James tells us. There are things that you don't have. The reason you don't have them is because you haven't asked for them. Boy, that's wild. That's a different dimension of God. So if you want, you can theologize it away, or you can go, yeah, the Bible does say that. But in Moses' personal connection with God came the key to having a relationship with God. And until we learn to do what he did, we will never truly know him in his depth and in all of his dimensions. But it starts with not trying to figure God out and not trying to just see, okay, he is this, he isn't that, I need to understand everything about him. But it starts with just letting God be God and yet letting you be you. Because when we go into that connection with God, we do form a relationship with him. Now, the word relationship, it comes from a root that refers to relatives. You know, someone that you're connected to. What the word actually, the Latin word that developed into the English word relationship or relations or relative, is a word that referred to going over your history and finding a connection with someone. So here's how a relationship works. I share my history. I share where I've come from and who I am. And you share yours. And we find out that we intersect in certain places. And the deepest relationships are the places where with a person that we feel like, wow, I guess you get this. I think you understand this. And so when we are having human relationships, we are looking to see how related we actually are and what common communication can flow forth from that. That's what a relationship is. So what Moses is doing with God here is forming a real relationship. There are a whole lot of people, I'll be honest with you, who say that they have a relationship with God, but they don't know him at all. In fact, Jesus says in the end, there's going to be people who are like, man, I did miracles in your name, cast out demons in your name. And he's going to go, you know, I never knew you, actually. You thought I was one thing, but that was an idol. That wasn't me. I'm much more than that. I'm much deeper than that. And for each one of us, we have to decide, how do we relate to God? Because if you don't relate to him, you will never be very equipped to relate to others. You know how it goes. You meet someone, you think on the surface, yeah, this is a cool person. And then you begin to get to know them and you're like, oh, I don't know, there's more to this person than I thought. They're a little weirder than I expected. This looks like it could be a real mess of baggage. I remember the first night Ann and I went out on a date. We were walking around Balboa Island. And she was asking me about my family. And I'm sharing my whole life story with her and all the weird stuff we had been through and the crazy relatives and the messed up stuff and the sin and all that. And I'm just kind of telling my story. I'm thinking, hey, this is going really good. I went home that night and I go, boy, she's amazing. I think I could marry this girl. I told my roommates that. She went home and said, oh my gosh. He's scary. He's like, this guy, I could never be involved with somebody like this. He's got to be so messed up with the weird story that he has. And we finally ended up building a relationship through that. It was kind of miraculous. There were times when it was real one-sided. Not so much anymore, but it was then. But you have to go deeper in order to find true connection. So here's what Moses does with God. He's like, I don't like what you're doing, and I'm going to tell you I don't like it, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to give you reasons, and I'm going to talk you out of doing what it seems like you're going to do. That's pretty gutsy. And then they talked face to face. He couldn't literally see his face. You can tell from the verses after that, but it's like, I pour my heart out to him, and he does the same, and we're friends, we're related, we're connected. I know what it is to be his child. Because we have this relationship. And out of that becomes this development whereby Moses is also able to depict himself to the people and to be there for them and to be honest with them. One of the things you have to love about him as a leader, some leaders, the way they maintain control is just by being really nice and saying what everybody wants to hear, real friendly. Other leaders, they control people by being mean to them and always telling them how bad they are. But Moses was like, I would give my life for you. That's how much I love you. I've devoted my life to you. So there's your love. But man, sometimes I want to kill you because you are messing yourselves up. You are damaging yourselves. He had that balance of truth and love, of long grace. And that has to come from a security that says, I am not going to lead you whereby I'm saying what you want to hear, or I'm saying what I have to say in order to manipulate you and to keep you there so you can be my audience. He's like, no, my relationship with God is so strong that whether you like me or not, that's not going to be the reason why I do what I do. I'm going to be honest with you. Because as I open myself to you, I am hoping that you will find that I'm not rejecting you, and maybe it's going to be okay for you to be open with me. But don't try that without having a tight relationship with God. Because most of the time when you open your heart to someone, they're going to stomp on it because they're insecure with it. And you start showing more dimensions to yourself, and most people are going to go, well, you're creeping me out. But when you're secure in your relationship with God, when you can tell him anything, and when you can argue with him, have knockdown dragouts with him, and you can ask him your questions and share with him how you feel, you become secure in that relationship, in that communication, and then you don't have as much to lose to go bare your soul to somebody, and it doesn't matter really how they respond to it because you have one who you know knows you better than they do, and he approves of you. And he wants to spend an eternity with you. You don't try, anytime you try to have good human relationships without having that close relationship and bond with God, you're setting yourself up for failure. And that's why in most of our relationships, we draw lines and we find certain levels and we go, okay, we can have a decent marriage as long as I am this one-dimensional person and you are that one-dimensional person and we don't get on each other's nerves too much. But the truth is you don't want to know what's going on in my head. Because if I told you what I'm feeling right now, you'd run, you'd fight, you'd say cruel things to me. So we just settle for one-dimensional relationships with people. But when we're secure in our relationship with God, we don't have to do that anymore because the only one whose opinion really matters is comfortable with us, is connected to us, is related to us, and we can communicate with him. Unless we learn to do what he did, what Moses did, and get away with God and connect with him. And if the first 20 minutes of your prayer is, God, I don't even know if you're here. I don't approve of what you've done. You're totally blowing this situation. I've asked you to do this and you haven't done it. And I feel like I'm talking to the air. I feel like I'm talking to myself. I don't even know if you're here or not. That's an okay way to start if that's what you're feeling. You don't have to come before him with flowery language. You don't have to like impress him as if he doesn't know what's going on in your heart already. He's waiting for you to get it on the table so the two of you can mix it up and you can connect in a way that's profound and deep. And if you're not doing that, you're worshiping an idol. You're worshiping an image of God that's no more God than a golden calf is God. You're pretending. And God wants to deliver us from that. He wants to meet us in a real way. And that is so critically important.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. you'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story Series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now with the rest of today's message, here again is Pastor Dave.
This week, tomorrow, we start our women's study on the book of James. This is precisely what the book of James is about. How to be real. How to connect with God whereby you can be really honest with Him and allow Him to connect with you, where you can stop pretending and come out of the shadow of playing games with Him. But every one of us has to come to the place where we find out what it means to be related to God, where we find out what it means to be honest with Him. And it sometimes works better when you get away, maybe in a tent or a motel room with the TV off and no Wi-Fi, and just go, God, here's what I'm thinking. Does that freak you out? And God's like, no, I mean, some of the things I think about you would freak you out. But we're talking and we're connecting, and that's all I've ever really wanted. All I've wanted to do is tell you that I already know how you are, and I love you, and you're really special to me. And some of us have said that we walk with God for years, and yet there hasn't been that time when we sit down with Him and meet face to face like you would with your best friend. I don't know how many people you have in your life that you can be totally honest with. I hope you have people that come close to that. But I know there is someone who loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And He loves you just the way you are. And the only thing that really frustrates Him about you is that you're pretending, that you're worshiping an idol of Him, not really Him. But in order to discover God in all of His depth and dimensionality means that you're going to have to spend time with Him. And you will learn, you'll find out that, yeah, most everything you believed about God is, a lot of it's true, but He's so much more than that. Just like when you really get to know a person and you begin, it gets deeper and you realize, wow, there's so much to this person that I didn't initially see. You'll see the same thing in your relationship with God. The cool thing is you spend time with Him in true, honest debate, adoration. All that you do as you worship Him, it's going to free you up in your relationships with people in a great way. Wouldn't you love to stop pretending? Wouldn't you love to escape the tension that comes into our lives when all day long we're faking it? All day long we're worrying about what people think. And even when we pray to God, the best we can do is to thank Him for our food. And that's the depth of our relationship. He's the guy that blesses the food to the good of your bodies. That's pretty much where our relationship ends. Or He's the guy who saved you a long time ago, gave you your ticket to heaven, and someday you'll see Him again. Okay, I'll meet you in heaven. Go deeper than that. Don't settle for an idol. Spend some time getting to know the real God. He's so much different than you think. He's so much deeper than you think. He's so much more conflicted than you think. He doesn't just like say, here's what I'm going to do and do it easily. He's struggling. He relates to us. He understands this. This is the God the Bible tells us about. And you really need to know Him. I can't get to know Him for you. I can kind of describe it secondhand, but until you spend time with Him personally, you'll never know, really. He knows you. But He wants to hear you introduce yourself to Him again. And I pray that you'll do that. If you haven't done it for a long time or if you've never done it. Now, if you're somebody who's never really entered into or even a relationship with God, oh man, today's the day. And I can't completely describe him to you, but he's so much more than you thought. And if you like what you've heard so far, we've only scratched the surface of who he is and what he wants to do for you. Then it's up to you to spend some time with him. And the more you are vulnerable with him and open your life up to him, the better you're going to find out he is. He's not what you think. He's more. He's so much more.
The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play.